It's time for Squawk Talk, talking business to business. Squawk Talk highlights business and business owners in the Atlanta area. Squawk Talk is brought to you by Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration.
Well, good afternoon. We're broadcasting live from the Eagle's Nest in the heart of Atlanta. Welcome to Squawk Talk, where we talk business to business. I'm your host, Kate Skirmerhorn. Joining me in the studio today is Lisa Harris from Remax Center and Patsy Overton from Patsy Overton Interiors. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
We're going to start off the show today with Lisa Harris from Remax Center. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Lisa, tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do at Remax Center.
Well, thank you, Kate. I've been with Remax Center now for 6 years. Our company has been in business for almost 20 years. And my broker is Patrick Finnick, and along with his wife, Faye Finnick, they established the business in 1994. We have over 120 agents in our area with three offices. Our offices are located in Tecula, Duluth, and Johns Creek. And it is an amazing time to be a real estate agent right now. It's with the market booming and things changing on a daily basis, it's really a fun time.
Well, now you've been in the business, you said, for 6 years. And so you kind of came in right before things changed a little bit in the real estate market. And tell us a little bit about some of those changes that you've seen in the 6 years and maybe what the market's doing today.
Yes, my timing was impeccable. If there was ever a time to join the real estate business, that was not it. It was bad, bad, bad timing. But I actually grew up in the real estate business. My family was long involved with real estate. My mom was a broker, my dad a developer, and also my grandfather was an appraiser. So I've always been a family business. I always knew that I would be involved with it. But initially, I started my career in the engineering field. And so after spending 20 years as an engineer, I took an early retirement and joined the real estate business. And 5 minutes later, the market crashed. So I heard that you could put a sign on the ground and the house would sell back in those days.
6 years ago, you probably could.
But anyway, so things have really, really changed. For the last 6 years, it's really been a buyer's market. And back in February, somebody flipped the switch and all of a sudden it's a seller's market.
Nice.
So every day is a different day and it's a fun day and full of challenges.
And tell us, for those who may not know, what does that mean when you say it's a seller's market? Does that mean that people are starting to bid on the houses again? Or tell us what that means, the difference between a buyer's market and a seller's market. How would somebody see that?
Well, a seller's market essentially means that there is limited amount of inventory available. And so buyers are struggling right now to find houses to buy. And so when they put an offer on a home, typically they will find that there are multiple offers and that the sales price typically goes over and beyond the list price.
Wow.
So, for instance, right now in Duluth, we have maybe 300 homes for sale, and probably about 10 of them are less than $100,000. So that means that a first-time home buyer or an investor is really going to have a challenge right now trying to purchase a home.
And are you finding that a lot of the home buyers that are bidding, are they those first-time home buyers? Are they now getting the people that are doing the next upsell? Because I know a lot of people have been sitting on their homes for a while. Or are you finding a lot of investors? Or is it really kind of a combination of all?
It's a combination of all. In the beginning, it started with the first-time home buyers and the investors. We have a lot of international investors who have come to our area and they've been purchasing homes to use as rental properties. And so they purchased up the lower priced homes, and so that has allowed the middle priced home sellers to sell and then move up into the higher ranges. So it's slowly trickled upward, and so we have a shortage across the board.
So if somebody were thinking about selling their house, what kind of tips could you maybe give them to kind of get prepared for that seller's market?
The first thing that they need to do is prepare the home to be shown. And so that means to clean it and also declutter. And probably the third thing that they need to do is make sure they hire a professional real estate agent.
And Along those lines, because you do see a lot of FSBOs for sale by owners on the yards. And if somebody were out there looking for a real estate agent, everybody I know knows a real estate agent. What kind of things would you recommend that they ask if they're interviewing real estate agents? And how many real estate agents should they, besides if they come to you first, of course, how many real estate agents should somebody interview to try to figure out who's the best agent for them?
That's a good question. I think the first thing that they should do is contact friends and family who have recently sold or purchased a home and find out exactly what their experience was like. You really have to be sure that you're hiring somebody who has a good education, a good background, and who has experience. And when I say experience, that doesn't mean somebody who's had a license for 10 or 15 years. You know, so we really want to hire someone who has experience in today's market. Because if you're a buyer, you have to be able to react quickly, and you have to be able to present your offers professionally in order for it to be accepted.
So that buyer, you might recommend them to go and get that pre-qualification first.
Definitely.
What are some other things that you might recommend? Being that the buyers are now competing, what are some of those things that you might recommend for buyers to do to prepare themselves to be able to get that house quickly?
So the buyer really has to be able to make sure that their offer stands out. If the seller is looking at, you know, possibly, you know, 10 or 12 offers and they're comparing yours to the others, they're not just looking at the price compared to the price. You know, they're looking at other things like what you're asking for in closing costs, you know, how fast you can close. And they're also asking their listing agent to give recommendations on the team that's behind them. So they really want to know that the supporting team is good. You know, so is that lender, you know, does that lender have a really good reputation in the industry for closing on time every time? Things like that.
Okay. So it sounds like there's a lot of tough negotiations that might come into selling a house these days that maybe back 6 years ago when all you had to do was put a sign in the yard, you may not see. What are some of those types of things that buyers and or sellers are running into as some of those negotiations? And how, as you as a professional real estate agent, help them through that process?
Well, probably the most challenging thing now is, you know, just getting through the entire process. The easiest part is, you know, getting the offer accepted. These days we have due diligence periods, you know, where we have the inspections, and the appraisal process now is still a large challenge. You know, buyers are willing to pay a little bit of a higher price and go over list price, but many times we're seeing the appraisals come back still lower. And so that presents another big negotiation even after the fact.
Yeah, go right ahead.
I've got a question that just popped into my mind, but when someone offers cash in the sale, how much weight does that carry as opposed to the other person who does not?
In most cases, it initially stands out in the seller's mind, but we see many times where cash buyers will traditionally want to pay much less because they feel like they have more buying power. Typically, they can close faster, but in today's market, the seller can't move faster. You know, their big challenge now is, where are we going to move? We have our house under contract. Mm-hmm. Now we have to find a new house, and there's a shortage of inventory. You know, so if they really don't have a plan on where they're going to move, it really, you know, is a big challenge. So, you know, the investors are typically the cash offers, and most of the time they're coming in second place right now.
That's interesting.
We're listening to Lisa Harris from RE/MAX Center. Lisa, you mentioned you had a couple hundred agents out of your office. What kind of service area do your agents cover in the Atlanta area?
Our offices are mostly in Gwinnett, and my office that I work mostly from is the Decula office. Our second office is in Johns Creek, and then our main office is in Duluth. Mm-hmm. And so most of our agents are typically in the North Gwinnett corridor, and most of us probably span up into the Barrow and Hall County area.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have specific, I've heard agents sometimes have specific neighborhoods that they specialize in, or specific price range of homes that you specialize in?
Well, I live in the Decula area, so I typically focus on the Hamilton Mill area, Appalachie Farms. I prefer the golf course communities. Chateau Alain is a great community. And, you know, our license spans across the state of Georgia, sure. So we are here to help.
But certainly if there's areas that you're familiar with, it's easier for you to quickly find those homes because you're familiar with what's in the area, too.
That's right.
And you know the homes and you love them, and that passion comes forth out exactly. of you as you're showing to them. Absolutely. I understand that RE/MAX Center was recently awarded the Shining Star Award from the Children's Miracle Network. For being the largest contributing office in Georgia. How did RE/MAX Center come about accomplishing that goal?
Yes, we're very proud of this award. We actually host an annual golf event for Children's Miracle Network, and it is every Columbus Day, and this year it's going to be at Bears Best. And we still need players, sponsors, anyone who can help with anything. And we typically... excuse me. Children's Miracle Network keeps all of their donations here locally, and so it's one of the best charities in the area, and we love supporting them.
Yeah, absolutely. They're a wonderful organization, and a lot of reward within that. Another little accolade I understand that RE/MAX Center is noted for is they're the official real estate agent of the Falcons. Tell us about that.
Yes, I am one of two official realtors for the Atlanta Falcons, and our RE/MAX Regional Services signed a marketing agreement with the Falcons this year, and we are the designated real estate company for the Atlanta Falcons, and we have two agents here that are designated to work with them and support them, and so that means that we're here to help them, the players, the staff, the coaches with their moves, whether they're moving into the Atlanta area or out of the Atlanta area. So it's quite a fun time that we're having with the Falcons.
So you might get to know a trade before the trade is actually announced with the moving.
I don't know anything about that.
You wouldn't have any
no
inside information. Confirm or deny
no.
any of that information.
No.
Very good. Lisa, tell us a little bit about what is it that you really just love about being a real estate agent? You spent 20 years being an engineer, and you said, I'm going to my retirement job, which is when people think about, I'm going to be retired and I'm going to do something fun. You chose real estate. What is it that that you just love about being that real estate agent?
The best thing about being a real estate agent is that we honestly help people every day. Every day is different. The most rewarding time is probably when a first-time home buyer is purchasing a new home. You know, when they get the keys to their new home after all the challenges that we face these days, when they finally get to the closing table, they are so happy and, you know, so empowered. And it's probably one of the best joys you can ever experience.
Now, if somebody is either looking to, let's just go with selling, if they're trying to sell their house these days, what is the one great piece of advice that you can think to give them as they're either coming into the market or they're just like right on that verge, I'm not quite sure committed. A piece of advice you can give them to say either get themselves prepared mentally or get their house prepared. What would be that one great piece of advice that you could give them?
The best thing that they need to do is to understand exactly what the value of their home is going to be. They need to sit down with a professional real estate agent to understand exactly, you know, what they would be competing against in the market. You know, how many houses have sold recently that compare to that house, and, you know, how many houses are currently for sale. And they have to understand, you know, the time frame that it's going to take, because if it does sell in 1 week or 2 weeks, where are they going to move? And
right.
if they don't have the big clear picture, they're going to be in a big surprise.
So they need to look a little broader than just their current selling their current house. They need to already have the big picture plan
That's right.
in place. Do you recommend somebody going to find where they want, because it's such a fast moving, find where they want to move before they even put their house on the market? Or do you still the traditional sell your house and then find the next house?
A lot of the consumers these days are still not really clear on how fast houses are selling, and they really don't believe it until it happens. So it's really, really important to sit down with an agent who's active in this current market and who can really tell them, you know, the truth and how it is, because you have to be realistic in today's market.
And I would think you have to, there's times where you might get an offer on a house before you even get all the information that you would normally do as a real estate agent out to the public. Is that true?
That's true. Yeah, but, you know, many times the investors will place offers on the properties without even going inside.
Wow.
So, you know, the sellers are quite surprised to have two or three offers and nobody's even walked in the door yet.
Well, Lisa, if somebody's listening today and they like a lot of the information you've heard and they have some confidence that they would like to interview you and talk to you about, how would they go about getting some more information from you?
My website is lisaharrisrealty.com, and also I'm a certified distressed property expert. And so if they would like information on short sale or foreclosure information, that website is helpinggeorgiahomeowners.com. And my cell phone is 404-307-9898.
Great. Thank you, Lisa, for being on the show today.
Thank you, Kate.
Our next guest on the Squawk Talk is Patsy Overton from Patsy Overton Interiors. Welcome, Patsy.
Thank you.
And start us off a little bit telling us about Patsy Overton Interiors and what all you do.
Well, I do, right now I certainly do home staging. And it's funny, in hearing Lisa's story, I realized that she and I both have the most incredible sense of timing over when to enter the real estate arena, because she and I got right at the same time. But anyway, in 2007, what I actually did was I got a real estate license, and it was when I was taking courses up at the local MLS store in Sugar Hill. I was on class break one day, walked into the little retail store, and I picked up a book on home staging. And I thought, well, that is really interesting. So I took the book home. I read the whole thing that night, and I immediately knew, yes, this is me. Yeah. This is me. So I went ahead and did get my license and hooked up with Keller Williams. But immediately became trained as a home stager and started working as a home stager.
Okay. And describe to us a little bit about what home staging is, and is that the same thing as interior designing, and what might be the difference?
Good question. Home staging, of course, is all about preparing your home for the real estate market. So it's presentation. As Lisa has already mentioned, when you put your home on the market, it's really got to look good. It's got to be inoffensive. You know, one of the main things you're trying to accomplish through home staging is to remove all the negatives, anything that might cause someone to walk through the door and go, oh, I don't like that. Yeah.
And anyone who's shopped for a house has done just that.
Oh, yes. Yes, they have. So staging is really about neutralizing to make the home appeal to the widest possible audience. Bottom line, that's what you're doing. In decorating, it's completely different. And many people think that decorating and staging are the same thing. They are not the same thing. Because when you're decorating, you are very much personalizing the home. It's all about who lives there, what do you like, what appeals to you, and that's what you want to bring into your home. And we all do that when we buy a new home, when we live in the home. But then when you get ready to sell the home, you've got to take your personality out of it again to make it appeal to the masses.
So in designing, you're making it their home, and in staging, you're taking that away.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, well put.
And so have you ever run into homeowners, and I assume the reason somebody would hire a stager is because they can't be, objective to their own home, because
right.
that was grandma's and that was this. And
that's right.
So how do you help people overcome that, but this is my home and that's my stuff?
You know, it is the funniest thing, and of course there's a joke among home stagers that when we get ready to put our houses on the market, that the first thing we need to do is hire a home stager.
Yeah, right.
Because truthfully, we're just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, we all become attached. We're certainly emotionally attached. We have all the memories that go along with, you know, that home. And, oh, here's where little Johnny got out his little crayon and drew all over my beautiful new white carpet. And I wasn't that cute. You know, that kind of thing. But anyway, it's just, it's difficult. You have to know how to... One thing that I find myself saying over and over to my clients is I tell them, look, I want you to understand that with whatever recommendations that I'm making to you in terms of depersonalizing your home, do not hear me take a whack at your decorating style or your decor, because really it's nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with what you like, nor does it have anything to do with what I like. Mm-hmm. It has everything to do, again, with what appeals to the masses. You always have to keep coming back to that. And so someone can have an absolutely beautifully decorated home, but again, if it's very, very highly personal, then we've got to take care of that and neutralize it.
And is there, obviously you hear when people are buying houses, they, oh, we got to paint inside and out. Do colors and things also play into that in staging? Do you recommend what colors people should paint? And what are some recommendations you can give people?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm also a trained color consultant. I actually, about 80% of my business these days, because it's transitioned over the years, is as a color consultant, both for interior and exterior painting. But in the real estate market, you know, that has changed slightly in that what we've been telling them for the past 5 or 10 years is, okay, you know, go in there and make everything just very blind, boring, just, you know, completely neutral. But we realize now people are much more sophisticated. You know, there's HGTV on that everyone's right. watching all the time. You've got all these magazines. You've got everything online. You've got houses. You've got everything at your absolute fingertips where you can go and you can look at all these beautiful spaces. And so what we realize now is that certainly, even though you want to neutralize, and yes, we need to get rid of that, you know, beautiful fuchsia living room that you have that might not appeal to everybody. Still, there needs to be enough color in the house to make it memorable. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you know, what is it that's
it's
going
just four
to
walls.
Attract?
Right.
Exactly. So that's one thing that I'm recommending more these days than I did even 5 years ago is, okay, well, let's, you know, let's put some, certainly some nice soothing color, something beyond just basic beige in the master suite, mm-hmm. for instance, you know, in the powder room, in the dining room. That's another space that we might try to highlight a little bit more than just a basic neutral.
Mm-hmm. Now, as a home stager, do you work strictly on the interior of the home, or do you make recommendations for the exterior of the home as well for that curb appeal?
Absolutely. Curb appeal is huge. You know, when people drive up to the home, obviously the exterior is the first thing they see. If they don't like what they see outside, chances are they may not even make it through the front door. So, yes, that's so important. And that's where exterior paint jobs come in. You know, here again, just the whole look has changed. You know, back 30 years ago when we were building, and even 20 years ago when I built my home, everyone had the white trim, the black shutters, mm-hmm. you're done. Mm-hmm. And now today's look and today's updated look is completely different from that. It's a tighter color palette. You're mm-hmm. dealing with more neutral, more muted colors on the home so that you don't have the really wide extremes. Mm-hmm. Or the contrast, you know, it's just a tighter palette. So certainly we would recommend an updated, you know, paint chart for the exterior. But then also it has everything to do with, you know, is the landscaping done in a nice way? Is it appealing, you know, or all the, do you have some nice mulch down? And just do you have some pretty flowers? Just something to just make it look really homey and appealing. Mm-hmm. So that's very important.
Now, in today's market, as we heard from Lisa, a lot of times homes are selling pretty quickly, and maybe not everybody in every price category would be a candidate for a home stager. Is there a certain range of houses that you work with or starting at that would be a more typical home staged house than others?
You know, a lot of people tend to think that home stagers are only for the wealthy, and that absolutely is not the case. For one thing, most every home stager I know, if not every one of them, offers just a consultation. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's all that people need. You know, they just need someone to come in and just walk through the house, rearrange the furniture a little bit. Another thing that we do frequently is tell people what to remove. You know, I find myself saying over and over again, remove, 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 remove. So, you know, homes are overstuffed with furniture. You know, again, telling them where they might need to paint, remove dated window treatments and all that kind of thing. So it just about anyone can afford a consultation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I know when we were trying to move many, many years ago, the first thing that just the real estate agent said was get rid of half of everything you have in your house because it's too cluttered.
Was that helpful?
It was not, because it just went into a basement, and 6 years later, it all came back.
Right. Plus, you didn't know which half to get rid of, right?
That's right. We were making our own choices. Yeah. So having somebody who could have defined a little bit better probably would have saved a whole lot of moving and back and forth. So certainly. So let's switch gears a little bit on the interior decorating side of things. When people have now found their new home, what kind of things are you seeing in the industry and trends in terms of interior decorating and things that people are needing help with? Interior decorating, is that just putting their place, or I know I'm moving to a bigger house and now I don't know how to fill it up?
Right. Well, it all starts with a plan. Typically a floor plan. You know, what I'll do is I'll go in and number one, ask them. I mean, sometimes, gosh, if it's a whole house job, I'm working with a guy right now who is a new single parent, newly single. Is that how you would say that?
We'll go with
recently divorced. How's that? Okay, so he's now single again. But anyway, when his wife and his children moved out, all of a sudden he realized, wow, there's not much in this house. this looks really empty. So what he did was he had just hired an au pair. It was a really interesting situation, but he had just hired an au pair who would, of course, be there when he had the children to help him. But again, there was not even any bedroom furniture. So all of a sudden there was this big push, 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 you know, okay, they're going to be here in 2 weeks. I've got to have these three bedrooms set up, and we're going, ah. So it, you know, that was a unique situation. But anyway, it all starts out with knowing, okay, let's talk about the particular space that we're focused on today. Let's talk about how you're going to use that space. It's all about functionality. Mm-hmm. It really comes back to that, because if the room is non-functional, it doesn't matter how beautiful it is, you're going to hate it.
Very true.
So I typically start with a floor plan. You know, we'll measure the space, draw out, figure out, again, what pieces we need, what pieces will fit, even more important.
Yes.
And then from there, you know, we just kind of talk about a vision. What appeals to the homeowner? Do they like modern, you know, are they more transitional, traditional? What's your style? What kind of colors do you like? And so we just sort of create a look and a feel, and off we go.
Okay. Well, we're listening to Patsy Overton from Patsy Overton Interiors. Patsy, going back to the interiors, do you ever find that you're feel like a little marriage counselor with husband and wives who might have some differing opinions on interior design?
There have been many times when I've walked in and asked myself, can this marriage be saved? They usually can be. Yeah, that's a great question. And it's so funny I really run into that an awful lot in color consultations, because typically men and women just have two completely different ideas, you know, of what they like, what they think is going to look good. And so in those situations, what I do is, you know, the first thing you want to do is obviously hear from them, find out what direction they even, you know, individually, what direction they want to take. But then once I've heard from them, I typically just sort of take that and set it aside. And then I have found that if you can explain to a homeowner the why behind what you recommend, they are totally 100% with you. So when I'm doing color, I explain that, you know, you have to have a starting point, and that starting point, whether or not you're painting inside or outside, is always the unchanging elements of the space. You know, for instance, a lot of times I might start if we're coming up for a completely new color palette for the entire home, you might start with the kitchen finishes. You know, what kind of granite, what kind of backsplash, what kind of flooring do you have? Because all of those elements have different undertones, and whatever you put in there has got to work with all of the existing. Or it might even be something like you've got a beautiful piece of artwork that you absolutely love, and so you want to build the room around that. There just has to be that starting point. Many times I've gone in and people think they are doing me a favor when they tell me, you know, no, you know, we're not, none of the old stuff we're taking to the new house, we can just start over. And I'm going, ugh, because you're just essentially pulling colors out of the air. You know, it's so hard when you don't have something to work from. But again, that's when you have to go back to just finishes, just granite, flooring, whatever is there that will remain.
Very good. So last question, Patsy, if somebody's listening to what they heard and maybe, well, I have one question before I get to this question. Do you have an area that you reach people for? Atlanta's a big area. Do you cover all of Atlanta, or is there specific targets that you come to first?
Pretty much anything on the north side, meaning, of course, north of 20. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm all over the north side from Marietta, Kennesaw, Gwinnett, you know, to infinity and beyond.
Not going to Macon unless it's really big job.
That's right. Unless they're willing to pay for it.
Big job. All right, so if somebody is listening today and they want to know a little bit more information about you and they want to get that consultation from you to come in, how would they go about getting some more information?
My website is pointeriors.com, and my phone number is 770-843-2307.
Great. Thank you, Patsy, for being on the show today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Squawk Talk, where we talk business to business. Special thank you again to my guests for being on the show, Patsy Overton from Patsy Overton Interiors and Lisa Harris from Rebax Center. I'm Kate Skirmerhorn with Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration, taking care of all your floor cleaning and restoration needs. To listen to this show and other Squawk Talk broadcasts, go to squawktalk.businessradiox.com. Until the next Squawk Talk, remember, when you're ready to get the job done right, set the eagle in flight.